1 Timothy chapter 1, look there in verse 7. There are people who desire, in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of what? The law, not grace. Law and grace are two different things, like water and oil won't mix. Law and grace won't mix. Law is one thing, grace is something else. Law means you must deserve, grace means you don't deserve. You can't mix the two together. God says, if it is by grace, then it cannot be by works, otherwise grace isn't grace. But if it is by works, then it cannot be by grace, otherwise work isn't work. Because, see, they oppose each other. One means you work for it, and that's how you get it. You deserve it. The other one is by grace, means you don't deserve it. That means without works. So you can't be saved by grace plus works. Because if it was by your works, then it can't be by grace. Salvation either has to be free or it's not free. So the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, down there in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. In other words, they don't know what they're talking about. They're teachers of the law trying to get people to promise to be good. Have you ever heard certain people teach, or preachers, that you must commit your life to Christ in order to be saved? That means that's you promising that you're going to live right in order to be saved. That's wrong. That's totally false. You do not commit your life to Christ in order to be saved. You don't make Christ the Lord and the master of your life in order to be saved, because that means you got to promise that you're going to live a certain way. That's wrong. I don't care who the preacher is. Doesn't matter. You can't change what God's word says. And even though a person may mean well, what they're saying is still wrong. A man is either saved by grace, not because he promises how he's going to live. You may promise, I'm going to never do that anymore. Or what happens when you do it again? You're not saved because you make God any promises. You're saved because God promised to save you. Have you ever heard that song go something like this? Just as I am without one plea. You ever heard that before? That's what it's talking about. Just as I what? Just as I am, not as I ought to be. This verse is talking about that in verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. In other words, the way it's supposed to be used. Now, take your Bible and turn to the book of Galatians and chapter 3. The book of Galatians and chapter 3. And notice there in verse 6, the Apostle Paul talking to Gentiles who were being mixed up by those Jews. The Jews that believed that they had to keep the law in order to be saved. So Paul is trying to tell them, look, those Jews that are trying to teach you that you've got to keep the law, they don't. Those same Jews that are trying to teach you Judaism is in a religion that doesn't say, because he says, I was there. I was just like that. I did that. I was a Pharisee. That's talked about in chapter 1. He said, I did all of that. He said, I was above many my own age in the Jews' religion. He says, but it was false. He said, it was wrong. He said, I taught a man had to do all those things. So in verse 6, he says, even Abraham, who is the father of the nation of Israel, said this. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. In other words, a righteousness that God would give to an individual by faith alone. Now, we talk about righteousness. Remember, there's two kinds of righteousness. There is the righteousness of man and the righteousness of God. God says, be found in him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So God says, I will give you my righteousness. So if God gave me his righteousness, that would make me as righteous as God. So I go to heaven on his righteousness, not mine. Christ came into the world and lived perfect. If he did that and lived perfect for me, then it's just like in God's eyes, I did that. I live perfect. Because see, what he did was put to my account. God gave me his righteousness. He took my sin. We swapped places. And all those bad things that I did, yeah, he went to the cross and he died. He paid for them in my place. So in God's eyes, it's like I went to the cross and I died and paid for all my sins. Isn't that wonderful? But he did it for me in my place. So here in Galatians, he says in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. He said, look, you don't have to become a Jew to become a child of Abraham. Abraham is considered a father by faith. And all those who by faith accept Christ as their Savior are the children of faith, or the children of Abraham. Israel is not just automatically the children of Abraham. Only if you in Israel would trust Christ as your Savior. So you don't have to become a Jew in order to become a child of Abraham. All you have to do is accept Christ as your Savior by faith. And then you are a child of God. Now notice what he says in verse 8. And the scripture, meaning the Old Testament, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 12, later on in chapter 18, also chapter 15, when it talked about Abraham was led out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and God was going to make a great nation from him. So he was going to have a child, and this child was going to be a miracle child because Abraham and Sarah were past the age of childbearing, and so therefore this child would have to be a miracle. And that's what salvation is. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness in Genesis chapter 15, and God says, through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Through thy seed, singular. So through Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob and so forth, on down the line, Christ was born. The seed, Christ, the Messiah, in which the Gentiles believe on all over the world, and we are blessed. That blessing is the opposite of a cursing. You and I were born into this world under a curse, the curse of sin. We all sin, we all die. But the blessing of God is to have eternal life. The blessing of God, that's talked about here, is eternal life. And I'll show you that in just a moment. So notice there in verse 8, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So was the gospel preached in the Old Testament? Yes, it was. Was the gospel preached to Abraham? Why is that important? Because, see, Abraham lived and talked about this problem 430 years before the law was ever given. So Abraham was not saved because he kept the law. No, Abraham didn't have the law. The law was given through Moses on Mount Sinai 430 years later. So God had already promised to Abraham he'll save people by faith and faith alone. If God's going to save them by faith, well then, when he gave the law, did the law annul the promise that God made to Abraham? No, the law did not annul that promise. It means that God still is going to justify, make righteous, declare righteous, a heathen by his faith and faith alone. I've had people tell me, well, you can't tell me, all you got to do is just believe on Jesus Christ and you'll go to heaven. Yes, I will tell you that. That's exactly what God says. And any preacher who tells anything else doesn't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're wrong. Dead wrong. And it burns me because I get a chance to talk to a lot of people that are so mixed up because some preacher calls himself a preacher and a man of God, and just because they put a name of a church on the top of it, they say they're a church. They're not a church. And he's not a preacher of God. God said if he saves it by grace, he's the one that made heaven. He made hell. He made people. And he says you get there free. And no man has a right to mess with that and add one little work to it. Yeah, that burns me up. Look what he says now in verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And everybody in the whole world will believe just like Abraham believed, by faith and faith alone, without the law, can be justified. Have that same blessing just like he had. If you think you have to keep the law in order to be saved, how much of the law would you have to keep? All of it. Look in verse 10. He says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? The blessing or curse? You're under a curse. So under the law is a curse. But the blessing of God is by grace. Means you're removed from a curse. You see, I once was lost and I was going to hell. And I ain't going to hell anymore. I've been blessed by God. God allowed me to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I trusted him as my Savior. I'm saved by faith. And I'm going to heaven. I have eternal life. That's the blessing of Abraham that the Bible says, upon all the families of the earth will be blessed. But he says, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, you got to keep them all perfectly. And then if you did, there's no law that said God would save anybody who kept the law. Ain't that something? So how do you know? Well, look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, Wherefore then serveth the law? What's the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed, Christ, should come, to whom the promise was made. And now look in verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, if there had been a law, okay, you keep the law and you'll go to heaven. If there had been a law given, then that would have been great. But God never said that. Where do you find the verse that says you keep the law and you can have eternal life? There isn't one. And then he makes a statement, last part of it. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if you could earn it, you should earn it. If you could be good enough to go to heaven, you should be good enough to go to heaven. If you could earn your way to heaven by your good deeds, then that's the way it ought to be. That's what he's saying. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. Like everybody's saying in the world. All these various religions. But the only problem is man is a sinner and he can't save himself by his works. Look there now in verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. So Abraham had God make a promise to Abraham. That's the promise that was made to Abraham. God is going to save by faith. Well, the law was given. Why was the law given? So that no man would trust in his works. So that a man would trust Christ as a Savior, so that God could fulfill the promise that he'd save him by faith. Well, man ain't going to trust Christ and put his confidence in Christ if he thinks he can save himself by his good deeds. So I challenge every person who thinks they can keep the law to be saved. You got to be perfect, 100% perfect, from beginning to end. And since no man is, then he ought to see, I can't save myself. The law was a mirror to show a person that they're sinners, and it will lead them to Christ. Remember, until the seed come, the Messiah, till you come to Christ, you're under the law. When you come to Christ and you trust him as your Savior, now you're removed from the curse of the law till the grace of God, and now you have eternal life, and you're going to heaven when you die, and you can never be placed under that curse again. Because you're free from them. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. But you are under condemnation when you're not in Christ. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, God gives you eternal life, and you have eternal life. You're going to heaven when you die. Now look in verse 17. Verse 17, tremendous verse. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, now get that, the law, which was 430 years after God made that promise to Abraham, cannot what? Disannul. That it should make the promise of none effect. Just because God said, I'm going to save you by grace, it means you don't have to earn it. Then he gives the law 430 years later. Can the law annul the promise? God says, no, it doesn't. The law was not given to save a man. It was given to show that a man he can't save himself by works, so that he will trust Christ as Savior and be saved by grace. Look there in verse 23. But before faith came, before you trusted Christ as your Savior, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? Christ, that we might be justified by what? Faith. So God says the law was given to show a man that he cannot save himself. Now you put it into the today's language. There may be a lot of people that say, well, we're not talking about keeping the Ten Commandments to go to heaven. We're just talking about you got to do right. You got to do good. You got to behave. You got to go to church and give money and pray and all these good deeds. And if you don't do all these good deeds, then you'll lose your salvation. That's the same thing as trying to keep the law to be saved. You're dependent upon man's works. And God said, if you're dependent upon your works, you can't be saved. It's not that a way. It is so important for people to see this and to understand this. Take your Bible now and turn to James chapter 2. The book of James and chapter 2. And notice in verse 10. For whosoever, this is on page 1307. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? He's guilty of all of them. That means that if you ever sin in any area, you're guilty of all sins. You say, I don't understand that. Let me give you a brief illustration. 10 links in a chain. You're hanging over a cliff. You're hanging on to the last link in a chain. How many links have to break before you fall? Now, this is a tough question, very difficult. How many links got to break?
One.
Only one. Does it matter which one?
No.
Same consequences, ain't it? You're mashed potatoes. And so it doesn't matter which one of those, well, I never did this one, and I never did this one, and I never did this one, but what about the other one? Well, I done that one. Then you're guilty of all of them. Wages of sin is death. Not wages of sins. The wages of sin is death. You sin, you die. That's why everybody dies. Why everybody's a sinner. Doesn't matter how many sins you committed. That's why when you get up in the morning, you look in that mirror in the bathroom. Well, when you see that you got, you know, matter in your eyes, or you need a shave, and you got turtleneck sweaters on your teeth, and your hair's messed up and cobwebs in it, you don't take the mirror off the wall and wash your face with it. Purpose of the mirror is just to show you what's wrong. That leads you to the soap and the water. That leads you to the toothpaste and the toothbrush. That leads you to get the comb and comb your hair. It leads you to something else. That's the purpose of a mirror. The law is a mirror that leads you to Christ. You were like, good night, I didn't know I was that bad. God says, yep, I told you was that bad. You're that bad. You need a Savior. And you cannot save yourself, and that's why you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It makes sense if people are let it make sense. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans in chapter 3. The book of Romans and chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 has some very good statements, because it concludes that all men have sinned. Everybody's a sinner. You see, in verse 10 says that there's none righteous, no, not one. Why? Because you broke the law. In the last part of verse 10 or 11, there is none that seeketh after God. Last part of verse 12, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. By your works, it just simply proves that you're not a saint after all. Maybe a Saint Bernard, but thou art a sinner. Look in verse 19. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. In other words, the law was given to show that everybody's a sinner. And nobody is any better than anyone else. You are not going to heaven because you quit your drinking and you quit your smoking and now you're a good little person going to church. That is not why you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. And if you're listening to the broadcast, you're not going to hell because you do all those bad things. You go to hell because you reject the payment Christ made for you. That's the only reason you go to hell. See, Christ has already paid for all your sins. And we're not saved because we do good deeds, and somebody else not saved because they did bad deeds. Here in the Romans in chapter 3, he makes a statement in verse 20. Therefore, understand this now, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So anybody who say, well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do that, usually are, but they can't be justified, cleared in God's eyes. So it would help a person to see they're wasting their time trying to be something they can never be. That's what you call a religious hypocrite. They think they're so good, they don't need to trust Christ only as their Savior. They're helping him out. They're going to do their part, and they're good enough. But of course, if they don't do their part, they lose whatever they had. That is not the Bible. Look in the last part of verse 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is what you lets you know that's sin, that's wrong. And that was the purpose of it. Now look in verse 24. Being justified, what's the next word? Freely. Being justified. I can be justified, I mean, from all those bad things I did and all those bad things I'm going to do, I can be justified just as if I never did them. Yeah, but I did them. God says, I'm going to save you by grace. Grace means you don't deserve to be saved. But I'm going to save you because I love you. All you have to do is believe that I did this for you. I paid for your sins. I love you that much. And I'll justify you freely, no charge to you, by grace. Look at it. Being justified freely by his, what's the word? Grace, unmerited favor. You didn't deserve to be saved. It means you God didn't save you because you promised you're going to go to church. You promised you're going to give money. You promised you're going to live right. That's why sometimes it's hard to get some people to trust the Lord, because they said, I don't think I can live. I said, live what? I can't live the Christian life. Nobody said you had to live the Christian life to go to heaven. And you don't have to live a bad life to go to hell. Salvation is trusting Christ And being lost means you rejected Christ. Please understand that. Being justified freely by his grace. Now get the last part of the verse. Through the redemption because of the payment that was made by Jesus Christ. Now what he paid for it, that's redemption, bought back. He paid for your sins. All you have to do is believe it. Now look what he says there in verse 28. Verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by what? Justified by faith. And look at the last part of the verse. You ought to underline that. And yet there's still people who cannot believe that this is the book. I've had people say, well, you're just making that up. You're adding to the Bible. I am not adding to the Bible. A man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without doing anything, without trying to earn it. Saved by grace. Look there also in the book of Romans in chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and look in verse 3. But what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, by belief alone. Now look what he says in verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, the man that wants to work for his salvation, earn his salvation, thinking I'm good enough, then God says that he doesn't get salvation by grace. It would be, God would be in debt to that man. That's why he said, now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace. In other words, it's not considered to be grace. That means that he deserved it. That's a reward because he earned it. He earned the right to go to heaven because he was good enough. God said, that's not grace. He says a man is saved by grace, not by his works. So a person needs to understand the difference between grace and works. It's either by grace, totally free, or it is totally by works. It cannot be a mixture of both. I cannot give you something and say, this is free, but you got to pay for it. Now, wait a minute. It's either free or you got to pay for it. Going to heaven is either free or you got to pay for it, but it can't be both ways. I'm either totally saved 100% by grace or I can't be saved at all. In verse 5, get verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him. You say, what about those who just all they do is believe? Can they still be saved just by believing? Well, look what he said. But to him that worketh not, doesn't work, doesn't try to keep the law, doesn't do any of that, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his what? His faith is counted for righteousness. In other words, my believing is just like I lived a perfect life. In other words, instead of me living a perfect life, I can just by faith believe that what Christ did is put to my account, and it's just like I did it all by faith alone. And yet there's a bunch of morons out there that can't see that, and they keep people in fear. They keep them blinded. So they think, well, I got to go to church, and I got to give money, and I got to live right, or I'll go to hell. That's not true. As much as I want people to come to church, as much as I want people to live right, I still don't think it justifies me in lying to people, deceiving people, because I'm afraid to tell them the truth. I had a man one time tell me, he said, listen, don't tell anybody. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. Because that's a family secret. A family secret. I thought that was what God says to broadcast from the highest hill. That's the same thing I thought that Christ says, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that everybody can know they have eternal life. What's the reason of trusting Christ as your Savior if you don't know where you're going when you die? If you don't know you have eternal life? And there's a lot of people that are not sure where they're going when they die. And yet it is if it's by faith and faith alone. I want you to see this. Look there now in verse 14. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. In other words, the only ones who can inherit this eternal life are those who kept the law. Then that annulled the promise that God made. It would be free. So he says this in verse 16. Therefore, and you ought to underline this first part of the verse. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by what? Grace. To the end, or for this purpose, the promise might be sure to all the seed. In other words, the only way you can be sure of going to heaven when you die is that it's free. If it's by your works, then you'd have to wait until you die to find out if you were good enough. That's why you ask some people that go to church all the time, where are you going to die? Well, of course they don't know if they're dependent upon their good works to get them there, because they ain't dead yet. They got to wait till they die to find out if they were good enough to make it. Because it says right there, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Who? God said, I'll make it by faith, that the promise might be by grace. In other words, by me putting my faith in Jesus Christ's work that he did, God will save me by his grace. I don't earn that and I don't deserve that, but I sure get the benefits of all of that. That is salvation by grace. There is no other. And let me show you one other verse before we close. That's in Acts chapter 13 and verse 38 and verse 39. Look very quickly here at this verse. Page 1167. These two verses ought to knock your socks off. They're tremendous. You ought to underline them in your Bible. Memorize them. Verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. God forgiving you of sin. Now notice. And by him, all that believe are justified from how many things? All things. And by him, all that believe. That means everybody that just by believing can be justified from all things. Now get the last part. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses by trying to earn your salvation. In closing, look in verse 43 just to close this out here. I want you to see that. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God, not the law. Letting this hand represent you and me, and this wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us, but he hates our sin. We committed the sin, we ought to pay for it, and the payment is death in hell, the wages of sin being death. So God said he loves us and wants us to have eternal life and go to heaven. To go to heaven, we have to be perfect, and no one's perfect. God gave the law to convince us. So anybody who looks at the righteous standard of God knows they're sinners and cannot save themselves. So we need a Savior. This hand represents Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, he came into the world because he loves us. Hates our sin because our sin separates us from the Lord. Christ took the sin, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. Said if we'll believe that he did it for us by faith alone, believing that what he did was for us, I believe he did it for me, God would save me by grace. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything to deserve it and never will. But he loves me. He gave it to me as a gift. I go to heaven on what he did for me. There is no other way. Is no other way. You don't promise God anything. All you do is receive it. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life.